Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. As ever, I am your host, the Right Reverend Bobby Love. And as always, I am joined today by Mr. Rooney, Citizen Neil. How are we doing?
I'm good, mate. That was a bit of a tongue twister for you. All right? Have you started drinking already, or are you?
Not yet. I'll get to that in a second. But we'll introduce our other co-host, the man who loves a moan, his wife's favourite, Ali McCreef.
Evening, gents. How are things?
Not too bad. Not too bad. For the listeners wondering why I maybe sound a bit tongue-tied, I'm absolutely fucking knackered. Right, I've been trying to finish off my dissertation for the last week. I've had a lack of sleep. I'm grumpy. I've had no drink, and it gets handed in tomorrow. So if I start slurring words, it's not because I'm pished. It's because I'm knackered. All right, just for a change. Just for a change. For those that usually see me at games, just for a change. But anyway, as usual, we'll take you through the last few weeks. We're slightly delayed for reasons beyond our control. Usual kind of run through games, injuries, player focus, women's team, 20s, usual moans at the end, plus who's keeping. So to start off, all the way back to the game against Celtic, where we lost 1-0. Rooney, you were there. Give us your view.
God, that was a long time ago. wish I had known this, Celtic. I thought we played pretty well against Celtic in the first half, playing the three up front. The guy in the middle kind of tucked in a wee bit, regardless of who it was, whether it was Uzi Shanley or Robbo. But I mean, you get changes made, and then we were like, you know, the changes rocked them a bit, especially because it was like Celtic's players were out on the pitch, and then it was like somebody got called in, and I was like, can't be somebody else injured already, but that was Rab and the boy Shanley going off. So we played pretty well in the first half. They got their goal, but signing a boy for Rangers, he's not going to be on sweet, is he? And I thought, you know, if we had snuck a point, it probably would have been a decent result. You know, to get beat, there wasn't much in it. I think the benchmark I used, I went with Martin, the benchmark I used was, we went to Cove, they're not as good as Cove. And from what we've seen last year, they're probably not as good as Queen's Park. But they're probably going to have, they're going to have enough in the locker to beat a lot of teams, probably quite comfortably, or like sneak it like they did against us. You know, the boy Nathan Austin, touch wood, hopefully doesn't do it the next time, but you know, the boys marked him at the game, even when they brought Toshney on in that, when he was playing, they marked him at the game. For the hype that was about him. The boy Cardell played, he must be about 40-year-old now, but he still played pretty well, left foot, right foot. Didn't really want to go into his left. I was screaming at who, I can't even see long ago who was playing right back, but hopefully it was Kieran Brennan, screaming, didn't let him come inside, didn't let him come inside. And he just came inside all the time. You're like, or he would drop the shoulder as if they're going to go left and go right. It's like, the boy's playing Scottish football forever, and the only glitz on his right foot. But him and the boy Higginbottom, you know, they look lively without really, you know, how do you put it, without really putting Team USA in too much trouble. Schwalke got played pretty well as well, but nothing really. I think it was a draw, it probably would have been a fair result from a neutral watching. But on an away day experience, nice and easy to get parked. Could be set up. Wouldn't mind if City set up was like that. Had a nice stand, seated stand, and then they had a terrace section, and then had another terrace section on the other side of the dugouts where, like, the people come out of the social club and everything. And good standing sections as well. It's a good setup. It is a really, really good setup. But footballing wise, probably a point, and probably would have been happy.
Aye, Ali.
Yeah, I think it was probably the start of, despite being a defeat, it was probably the start of a kind of decent run, or certainly slightly better performances. I probably expect them to be Kelly to be a bit better than they were. I expect them to be at the level of maybe Queen's Park or Cove, but evidently not, certainly the most. But they've got that individual quality. It was, you know, Barjonas, or every prince's name that scored. You know, he'd been at Rangers up until recently, and relatively well thought of by Rangers fans. I think he's had a mixed spell when he's been down. I think he was at Raith Rovers and didn't do very well. But, you know, he's got that individual quality. He obviously, Austin, his scores goals at this level for fun. I know we kept him quiet. It was interesting. It was probably the start of a better run of results anyway. We kicked on from there, but it was also, if I'm right, the start of our really, I know we're going to come on to it, but our injury run as well. You know, we lost a couple of players at that stage, and you know what, it probably just gave everybody a little bit of heart to think, after such a difficult start to the season, that, you know what, we can compete with what will be the top team in the league. We've had that previously. Remember, we had a couple of games against Queen's Park, certainly at Hampden, where we played really, really well when everyone was given Queen's Park, you know, by which we went there and we played really, really well. That just gave us that confidence that we could compete. Felt a little bit similar from the Kelty result. So not often you take positives from a defeat, but I think that was one where you generally could, to much. And fair play to the players and to the club, they have taken those positives and kicked on. So yeah, it was, I have to say, a lot better than I feared, because I think we were all sitting there thinking we could get an absolute doing here. But thankfully not.
Well, I like to think it was my pep talk at the beginning of the last pod where I said we could be in a relegation battle. Reverse psychology, what's a cheater? There we go. Worked out perfectly. Well done, boys. Anyway, right, on to the next match. We had...
I don't know if we had at that point. Was it not at that point that our manager maybe said that for folk that don't watch us or just watch my interviews, you know, we don't just watch the interviews. So I would, that's all I would say on that. We don't just watch the interviews.
No.
Let's move on.
No, less said about that, the better. I'm the one that got another diplomatic incident. Anyway, right, next game. Elgin, 2-0 win at home. Another Friday night that I missed because I was at Armadale. Can't even remember what the score was that week. Probably laboured to a draw or something. Anyway, that's another issue. Anyway, so 2-0 win. Second Friday, Danny Handlin got two early doors. It was Innes Murray's debut. You guys were there. Ali, how did you find it?
Yeah, it was an entertaining game. Actually, I think, you know, Innes Murray signed 2 hours before kickoff or something like that. Yeah. It seemed to be, and made a real difference to the team straight away. I see Drudy starting the beers there already. That's fine. And made a real difference. And I think it was, we've talked about this loads already this season, where we looked really soft. Lacked aggression. Well, we certainly didn't with Murray. He's not like a dirty player, not massively physical, but he is aggressive in the way he plays, likes to go forward, a really good athlete. I think he ran out of steam about, maybe came off about 70 minutes or something like that. But, you know, what we actually... It made a big difference having somebody like that in the team, and it made the rest of the team kind of click and make sense. I was there, spending a friend of mine from a podcast that's now a TV show was there from that one of us has appeared on. So one of them is an Elgin sympathiser. So I was watching it with him, and there was one point where Elgin definitely should have had a penalty. I mean, it was a stonewall, if you can remember it, Rooney. It was. You heard the foul on Hester. So I did text Duncan, say, if it makes you feel any better, that was a stonewall penalty. But it's like, that's made you feel much better. But no, it was a much, much better performance, really. And a lot of that came from having Murray and Innes Murray in there, just adding that aggression, that running power that we've not had without Liam Brown and without Andy Black, where we'd have had that in the middle of the park. I don't know, maybe Alex Ferguson was maybe meant to do that as a young boy, but you know, seems to be a good athlete. Obviously, he's been injured. Looks like he's coming back now. I think we saw what we all expected to see as well in the game was a Lewis Toshney injury, unfortunately. You know, he pulled up with his hamstring. and you've got to just feel sorry for the guy. You know, it's been a difficult, how many years now, maybe 5 or 6 years that he's really, really struggled with injuries. And it was quite sad to see him. I think he just went for a sprint down into the to cover into the fullback position. And he, almost before it happened, you just saw him properly sprint probably for the first time since he's been asked. And he just thought he could go here, and he did. And he just pulled up his hamstring. So it was nice to get those two early goals, and it just be a, it did feel, I think it was 7 minutes Danny scored. And because it was a Friday night, and obviously Elgin is a hell of a long way from Edinburgh, especially on a Friday night, I think everyone could have just wrapped up after 7 minutes and be like, we'll just get ourselves back up the roads, lads. This is fine. We're not going to come back from this. It's all done and dusted. So a pleasant way to spend a Friday evening, and well done to Danny Handling for very close to a hat-trick, Danny. Very, very close indeed, but not quite.
You also got the man of the match that night, so that should have stopped him whinging on Twitter, but of course it didn't, because he can't help himself. But anyway, Rooney, you were there as well.
I was attempting a live tweet after 3 or 4 beers. It was probably more of a high intensity start than we'd, that we probably hoped for all year. But Bigginess made a massive difference, sort of playing in the middle of the three guys behind the striker. I thought Hilton probably had a very good game that day as well. Go and express himself. Tappan looked like he had a bit more protection because he didn't just, was in a flat four, and you know, the other guy beside him running about daft and whatever, you know, that kind of helped as well. So, no, yeah, good result, good performance, much needed.
Aye. And from that, we then had a win away at Stranraer, a rather difficult place to go. We had a number of people there that there was a fans bus went. There was a number on the bus. And I think roughly the words we got back from those on the bus went, we absolutely stole the 3 points. And then when you watch the highlights, just a tremendous goalkeeping display. I think we were a bit shot shy in front of goal a couple of times. John Robertson just looks like he's got the yips a little bit, but we'll come into him for the Annan game. Just looked like he's had a wee bit of the yips. But it would just look like wave. This is our highlights. This is even Stranraer's highlights. It just looked like wave after a wave of Stranraer attacks. Us kind of defending really deep. Schwoki having a out of this world game. I think Chris Morris, who was doing tweets for us, was like, one of his saves was like, Jesus Christ, that's the best save I've ever seen live. You know, even the Stranraer commentators were like, can't I believe that, man? Can't I believe it? So it sounds very much like we're big goalkeeper has saved the day again. Rooney.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, we need to find out. Well, if it's his mum that listens back home, or it's just a family member, but messaging us to ask what minute was that in? He's big Steve. But yeah, watched highlights of that, and then I did watch the manager's interview for the manager to say that one of the players had been out to hospital all night, so hopefully everything is okay in the Crane household. Yep. And whatever happened, everybody has a speedy recovery. So, but aye, you know, then you've got Callum playing, who's played 90 minutes. And he's probably had about 2 hours sleep, so he'll be running on fumes at some point as well. So it kind of highlights how short we are due to injuries plus other things. But a win's a win. If we're scrappy 1-0 every week and the goalie has worldies, hopefully Livingston are watching him, because the lovely goalie at the weekend wasn't great. So.
Aye. Really?
Yeah, I think... again, it's a game, a second away game in a row with no live stream.
What made it worse is they had their full commentary team on, and very clearly they've recorded the game. So they were saying they were short of volunteers. I'm not sure if that actually was just a case to try and get people there because their crowds have been low or what.
Because it was weird, because when we played Stranraer at the back end of last season, their production stuff was really good. Actually, I thought their it was one of the better live streams I thought from so disappointing not to get that. I think we've got to say, you know, I know Uzi doesn't score a lot of goals, you know, but he does have a wee habit of scoring winners, you know, just getting that little bit of movement, and it was a lovely little flick to get the goal. And he does bring that to the team. As you know, he frustrates people. I'm probably one of his bigger fans in the support. And actually, I heard Naismith mention it in the post match that they'd been annoyed at him for not making the right movement and things like that just previously. But then, you know, what he's obviously had a shout from Stevie Crawford on the sidelines, saying, "Look, actually, you need to get across your man," and he did get across his man, and he kind of improvised to flick the ball into the corner. So if he can get a few of those winners, if he only scores 10 goals this season, but you know, 9 of them are match winners, you know, then happy days for the big man. It'd be interesting to see whether Crawford being there, and that's a while Crawford's been on the staff now, without any real indication of what his actual job is, whether he's just helping out or what. I don't think there's not been an official announcement or anything, but will he be having an impact? You know, he should surely, the level he's played at and the ability he had, he should be having a positive impact on somebody like Uzi, who's got a lot of talent and ability, but doesn't always make the right decisions and doesn't always use his energies in the best way. Can someone like Crawford teach him to be a bit more selfish, a bit more clinical? And I know we're going to talk about the big goalie, so I'll leave all that. But no, I think, and actually just to say on Callum Crane as well, I think he's obviously must be incredibly difficult to you know rush away to the hospital and then come and play. I actually think he's had an outstanding season. You know, of all the injuries we've had, one we've actually not missed as much as Rab. You know, Rab's not played a lot at all this season. He's our captain this season. I think Callum's form has been a big reason for that, and he's actually been in midfield as well at times. Callum, whether it's left back or in centre mid, I think he's had an absolutely excellent season. I didn't think he finished last season very well, and I was quite critical of him, certainly in the playoff games or coming towards it, but I think it's a fantastic start to the season. So he looks fitter, which is a new dad. I don't know if he's managed that, to be honest with you, from my experience. So fair play to the lad. He deserves a whole world of credit for that. So yeah, fair play to him having that commitment, and his performances have been outstanding. So he deserves all the credit.
Yep, absolutely. I was actually I'd actually written in Crane for the player focus as well, but I totally agree there. I think he's been kind of here, there and everywhere a little bit in terms of positioning. Yeah. He's had the captain's armband a couple of times as well. Obviously, he was Sean Narby, little sleep, and he's been performing magnificently, actually. So, yep, well done to Callum.
Ali, hold on a minute. I think Mrs. Monks has just phoned to say, get your finger out, because if he can do it, you should be able to do it. I'm going to say.
Right, so we get to the next game.
She's actually at Pilates, so you can tell she's taking her fitness more seriously than I am. Anyways, I'm slightly
the three of us put together, mate. So it's fine.
Actually, in your wee kind of tin water bottle there, it's no water. It's like vodka. Eh?
Whatever gets you through the day.
Anyway, so a third attempt at trying for this. we then move on to Stirling. It was a 2-2 draw at home. I made a wonderful comeback for my first home game of the season. What was this?
Signing autographs.
Waving like the Queen.
You're that boy.
No, came in the Liverpool and everything, man. It's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Saw it. Absolutely amazing. Obviously, the never got through to the players because we only do. Anyway, no, I'm on joke. I can't even remember how it went. 1-0 down, 2-1 up, 2-2. What's the best way to put this?
Jekyll and Hyde.
I'm not even sure it was that. I actually thought we played pretty poorly, to be honest, for quite substantial parts of the game. I think our goalkeeper saved us again. He had two or three incredible saves. There was one in the first half, I think it was, and he just kind of picked it out the post at the top corner, similar to his one against Annan on Saturday. It was just incredible, you know, and we're going to come on to him anyway, but, you know, he doesn't look a big commanding presence, but he does everything just kind of right. But you know what I mean? All four goals were pretty good. Stirling's opener was a pure defensive error, and Gary said that in his post-match interview. You know, it was just a big ball up. I think it was Macken headed it down, and Wallop, keeper on the chance.
Yeah.
Hilton's was a bit the same. I can't remember who scored, brother.
Hilton's? Did Hilton not score a cracker?
Hilton did score a cracker in the second half.
Murray scored the first.
That's right. We had a ball over the top. Murray's kind of went around the goalkeeper and it's got a really tight angle. And you're thinking, what's he going to do? Is he going to square it? And he just kind of lobbed it, smashed into the top corner. Which was
a cracking, we had two cracking finishes. The second half was a cracker for outside the box.
Oh, aye. I mean, that's what I'm saying. All the goals were crackers. I mean, there was no two ways about that. I thought we lacked a bit of bite, if I'm being honest. The gaffer will maybe point to having numerous injuries again. Maybe having to change the shape, change it back, change it again. I just think it comes back to what I said. I think we're lacking in the middle considerably. Callum Tappan, I thought, was having to do the work of four guys, and that's not really getting the best out of Callum Tappan. You need somebody behind him so he can go and get the ball and dictate the play. He's not getting the opportunity to do that, I don't think, and I don't think he's had that for all this season, to be fair. I don't know, I wasn't massively impressed considering how we'd apparently been playing a couple of games before, but I don't know what you guys thought. Rooney, you were there as well, what do you reckon?
I was slightly disappointed at how we had played, because Schwalke's maybe at fault for their second goal, just getting beat, you know, around the wall, but whether he's unsighted near the end, you know what I mean, but you know, you're picking bones out of that, but aye, but even with playing one up front, two up front, or we play three or whatever, you're missing somebody to sit and break up, like, and let tap and play, and let tap and dictate. And we're probably going to sit here in 4 or 5 months' time and still say the same thing.
Aye.
I'm being brutally honest, sadly. I thought we were good going forward. We're ropey at the back, but you know, we talk about how we've seen the improvement in Cal Mantel over the last couple of years because he had a settled back four in front of him, or he had two, three centre-halves who he was going to play with every week, and he's nine times out of 100, he's right, you know, the back four was settled. If there was one guy coming in, it would be one guy. You know, when you make too much of a difference, this season's very much, which isn't really having too much of an impact on the goalie, but he maybe wouldn't be making as many saves if I had more of a settled back four. And that's probably when they come down to our next point when we talk about injuries and stuff. But I think a wee bit continuity wouldn't go amiss at this moment in time.
Yep.
That's out with everybody's hands, unfortunately, because of guys getting injured. And I don't think that's helping your midfield, your forwards and all that sort of thing to get settled, that you can go... Maybe we do just play one up front all the time, and you play Uzi and you play three guys off him, you know. But if continuity, I want to use another phrase, but we're on the boozer. So a bit of continuity is what we need. We're craving guys to get fit. Robbie's still out as well, which is huge. To have a natural left back there. As much as Scott Reakey done all right, not Sean Reakey, who were tagged in that drunken night at the what was it 2-0 Elgin? I was tagging in the wrong people, and that shows you how much I'd done to them. Shouldn't drink on empty heads, kids. Responsible drinking and all that.
Anyway,
let's move on quickly.
Well, anyway, Ali, what do you reckon?
We'll have another drink.
Well, I was trying to follow this. I was away for a weekend, a wedding on the Saturday, so we were away on the Friday. So I was trying to follow this on the stream subtly whilst the Airbnb with friends. That didn't work very well. And then I was trying to follow the tweets, and I couldn't work out what happened with Toshney and Jardine, who seemed to be going, from what I could tell from my reading of the tweets and things, going on and off about three times, the pair of them. So I didn't have a clue what was going on or who was playing where, to be honest. I think what did Toshney come on and then go straight back off again?
Essentially, Toshney came on about the half hour mark and then went off at halftime.
For Hamilton, right.
Aye, Toshney came on for Hamilton, then went off for Jardine.
Jardine then
came off.
Fucking hell. Well, no wonder. I still can't follow it, and I've not had a drink today. So that was confusing. I think with it, you know, Stirling look a good side this year, actually, I think. And you know, for all we'd said, Celtic maybe aren't as great as everyone thinks. You know, I think everyone else is still fighting for playoff spots. I think it looks like they'll get one of them. I would suggest, based on the early season form, looking at their team, team is decent. I think just on continuity, just you mentioned there, I think the one bit of continuity that has helped us is having Bronski at centre half pretty regularly now. I think that's made a big difference. He was the player we were crying out for. He again was injured early doors. I think he was injured against Hamilton Accies quite early on, and it took a while to come back. But I think he's made a big difference. He's not a particularly good footballer, I don't think, in terms of, you know, the way he plays ball. But he's got that aggression. I've talked about aggression for a minute. It's money in centre midfield. I think Bronski at centre half adds a bit of really vital aggression to our play. And as long as he can stay injury free, I think he's our number one centre half, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned him, we can come on to Saturday's game, which I watched on the stream. It was Annan. Tough place to go again. The 1-3-1. Bronski marshalled the troops at the back pretty well. I think he even said in his post-match interview that's what he's there for, to be kind of aggressive, get your head on balls, put your foot somewhere, that kind of idea. And that's exactly what he did. There was one defensive header in the first half where it was a thing of beauty. Just diver header in the 6-yard box, defensive header, wallop, all the way up to about the halfway line. And that's kind of what we'll be missing a little bit. In terms of the game, it's weird because we spoke to Alec Milne on Sunday about it. He was there and he says, I thought we played okay, played pretty well. I was on the stream and I thought Annan were better in the first half, certainly. They kind of chased the game a little bit in the second, which allowed us to kind of to break a little time, a number of times, and get shots on goal and all that. But for once, me and Naismith seem to be in complete agreement, because even Gary said in the post-match interview that he thought the scoreline was slightly unfair on Annan as well. Which I think it was, if I'm being absolutely honest. Again, Brian and goals, another wonder save in the first half. I mean, he just picked it out the net. Like, it was goal-bound all the way until he got his big hand in it. Like, the Annan commentators were just like, where have they got this guy from? You know, just, it was save after save. But on saying that, we looked good on the counter. They'd obviously done their homework, Gary and Stevie, and there was kind of like a lot of balls over the top, trying to split the two centre-halves, so like Uzi or John Robertson run onto whatever one it was, and have the opposite one trailing him behind. Robertson was an absolute nuisance the entire game. Delighted he got his goal. It was one of these ones, he just didn't look, he just hit it. And I think that's really what he needed. One of the ones, and he's maybe going to start scoring. Because as I say, it just looked like he had the footballers, like the strikers, yips. That's all it looked like. Just, he wouldn't take a shot, he was too hesitant. On Saturday, he just walloped it, and that was... went into the net. But after that, we, even keeping the lead, we did pretty well. Injuries again, Uzi went off. I actually thought Robertson was going to come off before he scored. I typed that in the group chat going, looks like Robertson's injured. He was kind of sitting down on his hamstring, I think. And then 2 minutes later, he walloped it in. I was like, a Lazarus-like comeback for John Robertson there. It was a frustrating game at times. In patches, we played okay. I thought Danny Handel actually had a pretty good game. But apart from that, I'm not really sure. I think I'd go with, if you want to have an assessment of the game, it's probably watch Gary's interview, because I think that sums it up pretty well for me when he said that Annan deserved at least one or two, and I think he was almost hinting that they maybe deserved a draw, but he never quite said that. Ali?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's one of these ones where if we'd lost the game or drawn the game, there probably wouldn't have been a huge amount of complaints. But for all the criticism we've given the squad and all our concerns, all the concerns we've had about the squad and the lack of goals, it's good to see Uzi with a really clinical finish, you know, good opportunities, I mean, and was kept himself composed. Actually, when you watch it back, before he goes around the keeper, he's actually got to get out of his feet really, really quickly because there's a defender coming back. So he does really well to do that. And just as you said, Robertson as well. He's a funny player because Naismith said it in his post-match, and he was at St Johnston for a reason, a team who, he was a club who have obviously got some talented players and have got some good things going on there at the moment. Robertson was there and obviously well thought of. There's times you think, this boy's an absolute world beater, but I still don't think he'll be a prolific goal scorer. I really, really don't. But if he just get a few vital ones for us, but the trouble he causes defenders is unbelievable. Absolutely right. Unbelievable. Like, even he's just, I don't know if it's a particularly Scottish thing, but he's just that hyperactive striker, just like, you know, just total energy, like all the time. And there's players like, I think actually the boy, Martin Boyle at Hibs, I think was like that when he was at Montrose, when he was lower in the leagues. He just moved all the time until he worked at what to actually do with his body and the football and things like that. But he just about made a career of just moving all the time. And Robertson's a little bit like that. And he's like that, that post-match interview, man, he was absolutely buzzing, which is great to hear from him. which was brilliant. So, I think we said this previously, obviously he's had, maybe his career hasn't gone where he hopes it has so far. I just hope that he gets a couple of goals and he does start to feel a bit more confident and just gets that to kick on, because he could be a great weapon for us. And, you know, we've seen players go up the leagues from Edinburgh City, and he should be backing himself to do that, but he needs to do more of what he did on Saturday. So, yeah, look, again, we will talk about the goalie. If it wasn't for him, a different conversation, but, like, you know, that's why we've got him. He is there to do it. He is there to do a job, and he certainly did it on Saturday anyway.
Aye. As you mentioned, Robertson and his movement, he reminds me a wee bit of Alan Smith, just in terms of kind of where his position is, how he runs, where he moves.
A wee bit stocky. No, you get bounced off the ball.
It's that desire to go forward. It's that desire to go forward all the time as well. Doesn't take a lot of backward steps, you know what I mean? Never, it very rarely cuts back. It's going forward. It makes defenders defend all the time. And so, yeah, right, I would agree with that. So that's what I like about Alan Smith as well. So, yeah. Hopefully, he should be feeling good about himself, because he's played well. Look, he's got his goal now. Let's hope he can kick on with that.
Yep, Rooney.
Aye, you can take the boy at the injury, can you take the injury at the boy? Definitely. No. Well, mate, continue. He has done well. Just echo what Ali's saying. He's some good finishes, and that's why we've got a goalie.
Aye, nice and short, sweet, talking about the matches today then, folks. You can tell I'm really enthusiastic. No, I'm always you can tell I need to get back and finish off my dissertation for the whole
anyway.
Oh, I can't wait until that first sip of Belfield tomorrow. Oh, man.
Bob, it's actually really nice, especially if you leave it cooling for...
I know, aye. Unfortunately, I couldn't have a couple of cans of night because I was still working. So, anyway...
I've got four or five in the fridge, so I'll battle.
Anyway, aye. Yeah, no bother, pal. Prick. as we've kind of mentioned pretty much every game there, the next point I've written in my notes here, I've got injuries. If you're of a nervous disposition, close your ears. What the fuck is going on? I've got a note of everybody who's injured, right? We've got Sexy Rabmack, Lee Hamilton, Toshney, Crane, Jardine Kidd, Uzi looks like he's out now, Goodfellow was missing on Saturday, Shanley's just back from injury and he's had COVID, so we don't know how that's going to affect him in the long term.
He had an arm injury as well after Kelty.
Aye, so there we go. We've got another. He's just back for that. Just coming back from injury. Smithy's on the way back because he played under 20s game. His first game in over 600 days, said the gaffer.
Yeah.
To be honest, obviously it was only a half, but he looked pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Quite impressed. He's only playing under 20s, I guess, and that level between that under 20s to League Two is a massive gap. But you can see he was looking. He was looking fit, to be honest. I mean,
He
looked fit. Alex Ferguson's just come back from injury. I think he had a broken foot or something like that. He was at Albion Rovers with crutches not at the beginning of the season. And Danny Handlin's just back after a couple of weeks off. Apparently, Lewis Kidd's close to being back this week, so a bit too soon.
You say that as if Danny's just been on holiday. Is that what you're trying to imply?
No, he's obviously been injured, but...
Well, you just say this is a couple of weeks off, what is
he's
it?
He's just had a couple of weeks off.
Just had a couple of weeks, mid-season.
Just stuck his foot, just put his arm... I was going to say Alex Ferguson, as in Sir Alex Ferguson, used to do that. His boys used to send them off for 2 weeks here and there, just to give him a wee rest. No, he's been injured for a couple of weeks. Apparently, Lewis Kidd's on the way back. But I've also got in the notes, I think four of the injuries, five of the injuries, look to be hamstrings. I mean, Tosti went down with a hammy, Lee Hamilton went down with a hammy, and Danny Jardine went down with a hammy on the same match. Uzi looked like it was possible hamstring or in that area. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but like I know we've had injuries in the past, but generally it just seems to be Ember City. I think Spartans have maybe got like some kind of curse or something over the training grounds, whatever it may be.
They've buried a flag under that pitch with some dodgy sayings on it.
Something like that. But it just seems like the injury curse has struck again, and the difference is our squad this time is thin. I mean, we've said it in pretty much every pod this season, the squad is thin. It kind of made it even worse because at the Stirling Albion game, pretty much the entire last year's team were there. You know, Liam Henderson was there, Blackie was there, Lairdy was on the bench for Stirling Albion, Conrad was there, Cal Mantel was there, Sheps was there, he came down as well, you know what I mean? So
you've had a haircut, so you never noticed him really, but
he wasn't moaning. You couldn't hear him moaning, so
he wasn't moaning, no.
You couldn't hear him moaning. But I don't know if it's just a case of we've got injuries at the wrong time. They're bad ones, and we're short of bodies. I don't know if they're doing something in training. I don't know. It just seems all common injuries. It doesn't really appear to be contact injuries either. So there's obviously something else maybe at play. I don't know. I've never been a football player. Ali, you're the athlete amongst the three of us.
Yeah.
I need to stretch.
We're beer athletes.
I need to stretch before I play golf.
You need to stretch before you go to the pub. So Ali, you're the one that's probably the biggest athlete of all of us. In fact, you are actually, not possibly. What do you reckon's going on?
I think with no professional expertise whatsoever, I think just listening to what Dave Smith has said, I think there is bad luck for it, but it feels like, and he almost admitted himself, says, you know, we've got to look at what information we're getting. It's like players have been pushed back too early, you know. It really is. And I think if you don't have that recovery period, that's everything you read, everything you hear about these types of injuries is that you need to make sure that the recovery period and you don't come back too early. There's maybe that desperation. And that did come across in Naismith's post-match interview. You know, he said he had to look at himself and look at the physio, that the medical, I don't know what the medical staff is like. It's like it's saying, and you know what, you've probably got to look at the players will be desperate as well with that. I suppose at higher up, players are saying, oh, I can play, and medical department going, no, you can't, you know, and they've got a bigger squad to not have to push through that. Obviously, that's not the case at this kind of level. So I think it's possibly just that. That's maybe the factor. But look, it is bad luck. It's bad luck there. And it's the hamstring ones are just, like, it must be coincidence. I mean, I suppose you mentioned the Indian bid event when my brother-in-law sold his place in Pilton. Just as they went to sell it, the buyer did ask for some bizarre survey that seemed to, one of the things seemed to be, is there an Indian burial ground underneath this particular property or some bizarre thing like this, which is the least of your worries in Pilton, actually, when you're going there. But yeah, maybe it's a Spartans curse, something like that. But I think probably it's players just being trying to get back. You know what? If players are desperate to get back, they see that the team needs them. You know that we've just talked about Callum Crane, you know, coming in off an hour and a half sleep to play away. Players are obviously feeling like that because they wanted to go and help their club, which is good, but you've got to get that balance right and say, look, you know, you're a week away yet. So I'm glad when Naismith said about Lewis Kidd that he's still a week away or so. I hope I don't see him in the squad on Friday night when we get there into some sort of miraculous recovery just as he then breaks down. So yeah, for me it's that. And we've just got to try and ride it out. You know, we've had a decent run of results. We've just got to try and ride it, get as many of our players back as possible, but only when they're ready for me. And it's hard with Rab because Rab's obviously a fit guy and things like that, and hasn't had a huge amount of injury problems since he's been with us. So it must be tough for guys like him not being able to play, and as captain as well, not being able to help the team out. So you feel for the players and you feel for the manager as well. You know, they're trying to do stuff. It's harder for training when you don't have all the players involved as well. But yeah, we've just got to try and find a way to get through it. Maybe dip into the 20s a bit more, but it doesn't seem like many of them are ready, going by the lack of action from them. There's maybe been one or two on the bench, but it's not as if they've really been put in too much and trusted. So Naismith must not think they're ready yet.
The one thing I will say is that we did have a break of a couple of weeks and then had more injuries. So I don't know what that caused that, but anyway, Rooney.
Point one would be I had completely forgot about Lewis Kidd until Gary had mentioned it at the weekend in his interview. I was like, oh, it's a new guy. And I was like, no, that's the boy we thought was going to play in the middle of the park. Is maybe the bit steel. So that might happen. Although Ali said he was going to play right back, so we're still waiting for that to see if that's going to happen.
I think Kieran Bryan's got that sorted, to be honest.
I know. So that, I don't want to show off that I was right there. That's fine. I think, is it facilities? Is it where we're training now? It's different from where we were training before. Is that a problem? Is it how we're training? Is it what we're doing? You know, is it warm-up? It could be loads of things. It really could be loads of things. Is it the horrendous synthetic park that we play on? Martin, when we're at the game next time, you can tell me what level it is and if it's any good, because that's my dad's pal's expertise. He tells me they're excellent. I don't believe him.
They only relayed the pitch last year. It's almost a brand new pitch. And nobody played in it apart from the football teams because you weren't allowed to.
It doesn't mean if it's a good quality, though.
I don't know. It was the highest graded pitch, is what we were told.
Well, I'll ask our man in the supporters club if it's true. So it could be a variety of things. As Ali says, everybody looks at you. Look into these things too much. It could just be really bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think, we've had our injuries in the past when James was in charge, but I don't think I've ever seen just everybody going down quite at the rate that we have the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, generally, I think me and Rooney were speaking about with James, it was always like you had somebody out for long term, then they come back, then it'd be somebody else out for long term, or you'd have two or three out for a while, but we'd be able to be adequately replaced. So at this point, we're not. I think there is still an issue. I think we're short in the squad. I don't think we can get away from that at all. You know, if Callum Tappan was to go down, we've got no more midfielders, let's be honest. You know, Callum Crane's been having to fill in there because Jardine's been injured and Lewis Kidd's been injured. But beyond that, we've got nobody for that type of midfield area. If Kieran Bryan goes, we've not really got a right back. As you saw, Scott Reakey's having to play a left back when he's a centre half. So we're still missing probably three or four, which maybe doesn't help, but I don't know. It's just a tough one. As I say, I don't think, even watching the team that's on my chest, who have had some horrific run injuries over the last 5 or 6 years in the hockey, which is obviously a bigger contact sport anyway, I don't think I've seen quite the run of injuries as City I've got just now. But, well, anyway, right, on to slightly more positive things, we'll say. Emma Nuts here. I've got Big Brian for Ballon d'Or. Anybody disagree with that?
No, I'm sure he gets 3 votes. Much as we want.
Should we just give him the Player of the Year now?
I'm going to stick about him. We did intend on having a guest on, and he's not here because he's watching PSG and Man City. That's fine, but we were going to ask him if he would present him with Brian with the Player of the Year award the next time we've seen him. So, it'd be very good, very, very good. I was only joking, Livingston fans. The goalie wasn't that bad against Hearts at the weekend, but Brian's done very well. Schwalke has done very well. Hopefully, I pronounced that right.
If we haven't,
whoever's messaging us in the family and the supporters club account, send us a sound bite. Maybe that might help. But he's done very, very well. Looks very assured. Touch wood, we're not giving him the Jonah and the kiss of death. But he has looked very good, very assured. Makes some worldly saves. He's maybe got a touch of the Americanism in him, though, because he likes to run for the cameras. But long may that continue. That can keep going. And hopefully he's got more
class
than his golf team did at the weekend.
Enough about that. I don't want to go over that shoddy score. Ali?
I think, for me, quite simply, he's the best keeper I've seen at this level. And I know we've only seen him a handful of games, but he's absolutely head and shoulders above. And we've seen some good keepers here. But it's not just the saves that he makes in terms of the way, you know, the diving, you know, obviously the save, the one-handed, wrong-handed save at the weekend against Annan. But it's how good his hands are as well. For a young keeper to come for crosses and how rarely the ball spills off him, you know, when shots come in, like, it must be a technique thing, because there's not that many goalies that do it. I've always thought in Scotland, I think Craig Gordon's probably the best goalie I've ever seen in terms of the way the ball sticks to him, in terms of, you know, if he gets down low, he holds on to the ball, and Schwalke's got that as well. Like, it's good handling, actually, rather than clear saves. And he's so vocal as well. What is he, 20 years old? And he just talks the whole game. If you're there, you hear him, because there's not many American accents, apart from our pal Professor Mike Slavin, when he makes an appearance at the games. Although he's not, Mike's a lovely guy, but he's nowhere near as loud as Schwalke. But you just hear this big American voice booming out, shouting at Bronski all the time, and just encouraging players, which is amazing to see. Like, he came with a big, you know, he got the big sell from Livingston, and we'd been told, you know, look, let me think this guy's really good, or anything, from Martindale, the Libby boss, saying that, thankfully for us, the plan is that he gets a year of football at this level, and all they're really looking for is him to get experience. Martindale was very clear that they're not looking for him to improve technically, they're not looking for him to grow, nothing like that. It's just purely experience games. And at the end of this season, they expect that either he'll be challenging for Livingston's number one, or they'll loan him to the Championship just to get that level a bit higher up. So, look, things can change, and they could recall him in January. He'd still probably win the Player of the Year if they called him in January, to be honest with you, the way the scoring's going at the moment. But what an incredible difference. Like, we've all said what we've had to say about Antel being moved on, and Antel was a really good goalie for us and did well. And at the start of the season, when it was good filling goals, you thought, actually, you know what, that's a drop from Antel. You know, I think we've all cleared on that. I still don't understand why Schwalke wasn't starting at the start of the season. I'll never get my head around that, to be honest with you. But since he's come in, just absolutely incredible. You know, penalty saves, diving saves, good at everything he does. And he's not massive, I don't think. He's not particularly tall, but he's such a good athlete. Like, such, he's strong, he moves well. And absolutely, thank you very much, David Martindale and Livingston Football Club, which is not often the favourite team I would thank, but aye, much appreciated. Send them our way.
What we'll do is, if Ja listens to this, we'll just edit that part out for Ja.
About to say it, aye, sorry, Ja.
On the subject of Lord Lumsden, he's always very keen to give it the whole, just get the basics right. And I think Brian's got that in abundance. His kicking's good. In terms of, like you mentioned, Craig Gordon. Craig Gordon's a great shot stopper. His kicking's dreadful. Crosses are a bit. His kicking is dreadful. Yeah, he's always been dreadful. Let's not give me that. You know how much I love Craig Gordon, so didn't he give me that?
Excuse me. He can now kick with his right foot.
He's always been able to kick with his right foot. Just not very well.
Brendan Rodgers has worked wonders with that man's kicking.
Anyway, you know what I mean? Craig Gordon was always a good shot stopper. Crosses, he was okay, maybe not the best. He was good, as you say, at handling. Kicking was poor. Alan McGregor, good shot stopper, good kicking. Crosses is a bit suspect. Whereas Brian here has got, it looks like he's good at handling, he's good at kicking, he's good at commanding the defence, and his shot stopping has been out of this world. I know we're all fans of previous two keepers, Nantel and Stobie. Going further back, Babs was a good goalkeeper as well.
McGregor
as well. I mean, but can't, as you say, I think he's the best goalkeeper we've seen this season. I really do. I think Ja kind of hinted at that on Friday as well. And obviously he's got a lot longer service than any of us sitting on this pod.
If we had done our all-time 11, well, me and your all-time 11, with Ali chipping in with the odd player.
And the correct formation.
You know, okay. I think we probably would have been saying this guy should be in it, and probably wouldn't have gotten it just due to his length of service.
He's been absolutely dynamite. Absolutely dynamite. Like, I was doing official tweets for the club on Saturday, and I put up, like, crack and save again, or whatever I tweeted, and Livingston liked it, and I was like, oh,
didn't he?
Oh, didn't he? just done it. You're meant to like just leave him and just not think about him until next year. So I would like to think if the worst happens that there's a plan B, but we'll try and be positive there. As Martindale says, he's looking to get a season, because you said he wasn't going to go for League One, League Two to League One. But I think he's maybe got the same opinion as we've said previously. The difference between League One and Two is pretty minimal. Yeah, let's be honest. From that whole league could be an entire, that could just be one big league, and you wouldn't see an entire bit of difference between quite a lot of the teams. Let's be fair.
But be careful what you wish for.
I know. I wasn't really wishing for that. I'm just kind of giving an example here. whatever, fucking run the cons, trying to get work his way higher up. That may be maybe Bobby's bonus rant later on. Anyway, so yes. So on a player focus, even more positive news on the women's team. Myself and Rooney have been there the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, aye. We saw a cup win against Wharton, a 7-0 drubbing. Then it was second against third on Sunday against Ross Vale. A rather tough game, it must be said, but they came through 6-3. Three penalties, two for ourselves, one for Ross Vale. A couple of super strikes.
Yeah.
Nearly a bit of a to-do at the side of the pitch.
Okay, not involving me and Bob.
Not Robert involving us. We were just standing there going, what's going on here?
Robert and I done well. We only heckle the referee 3 or 4 times each week.
Aye, we'll get to that later. But I must say they've played absolutely magnificently the last two games. They're kind of almost a little bit slow to get going. I don't mean slow as in like they're unfit or they're huffing and puffing. It's almost like they're working the team out. And then once they work out how to play them, it's just that, boof, they're unstoppable. And over the last few games, and that's how I watched it for the entire season on YouTube as well, once they get going, they're pretty, pretty fierce. And I think that's what kind of happened in the second half against Ross Vale on Sunday, to be honest. It'd be super enjoyable. I would encourage all the citizens to get down there. I know it's tough to get to Broxburn. They're at Bonnyrigg tomorrow against Morton. They score a lot of goals. They play wonderful football. They really do. We'll get into some of the players in a second. But, Rooney, do you want to jump in?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. We were standing talking to, or I was. I don't know if I'd maybe need to have a shave. Or I know you're not coming up for a big birthday shortly, but... And one of the mums went, so do you have a daughter playing? And I was like, that's the second. We've only beat 3 games. The girl at Spartan said all the parents could stand on the other side. And we didn't have the heart to say we weren't a parent. And then somebody, and I was like, no. We're from the supporters club. We're going to watch the men's team. She's like, all right, very good. We watched the 20s as well. She's like, good. And I went, she's like, you enjoy it? I was like, yeah, this is good. And it was like the whole thing about women's football and football watching it. And being brutally honest, if they were shite, we wouldn't go. And I said that to her. I said, the politest way I can put it is if they were rubbish, we wouldn't watch it. This is very entertaining to watch. They put up a player profile of who we thought was excellent last week in the first half. And I'll moan at my pal Laura because she was in charge last week. Angela Lamont played in the middle of the park, number 11. They play 4-3-3 and they're 3 in the middle of the park. I've dominated a game of football more than I've seen in a long time of anybody. And they took Angela off at half time, who was like the pivot, as they would say, the deep one. And I was like, right, Bob, what do we expect of this? Because the last time I watched them, they played Rangers under 17, so we're
under 19.
Under 19, so they looked full time.
Oh,
what do we expect out of this? Is this going to be quite fierce? Is it going to? And it was like 5 minutes in, and it was like, boosh. Like, this was vicious stuff. And I was like, oof, I'm cringing a wee bit here. I'm glad I'm standing here and not playing, sort of thing. But honest, she was excellent. And it was like, can she play on a Saturday as well? Do you know? It's like, she might do a job. That's what we need beside tapping. So, they've got some fantastic individuals. But who I was speaking to, is it Daniel Forsyth's mum? And we were joking the week before that she came on at half time for Angela, and it was like she just moaned for 45 minutes because nobody gave her the ball, even though she was standing in space. And her mum just was like, yeah, that's what she's like, guy, sort of thing. So not like your mum standing at the side throwing the under the bus to tell you what you're doing. So, yeah. But very entertaining. When it gets to Meadowbank, I would very much encourage folk to roll on and watch them. They'll fully appreciate it because it's only really me, Bob, Alec, and Driz was there at the weekend. They've have fully appreciated us going along and tweeting and watching them. So if you can get along for a couple of hours, then do it.
Aye, absolutely. As you mentioned, players, I actually had Angelo ticked off here. The last couple of games, we've gave the player of the match to Beth Preston, who started at left-back against Botland, ended up at right-wing, started at right-wing on Sunday, then can end up playing through the middle, then end up in the left. But I tell you what, if you want somebody to watch how to drive a game of football, that's a person.
Yeah.
Gets the ball, head up play, runs at players, and she caused that left back on Sunday all sorts of trouble.
I know.
Got the two penalties. She set up a lovely goal for Danielle Forsyth, just I think it was the third goal. Kind of did a wee maze of run, really, cut it back, and it's a wonderful finish as well.
Yeah.
It was another cracking player. If you want to, I don't know if it's something to do with American goalies.
We've got Kelly, isn't it?
Oh my God, I have never heard anybody talk so much at a defence in my life. Any goalkeeper, and I mean, you thought Brian was loud. This is nothing. Nothing. It's even because there's not as many people there.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Woof. Woof. That's like talking constantly. There's no missing the instructions, put it that way.
No, definitely not. No, there was no missing the instructions. So.
They're now second in the... Well, second, I would say joint top. They're only second on goal difference. We've got a game in hand. We play that tomorrow against Bonnyrigg. I'm meant to be tweeting the game. It will depend on what state I turn up in.
You won't be tweeting the game.
All right, apparently I'm tweeting the game. It will depend on what state I'm in.
The thing is, we'll talk about that later. And I don't want to go into the whole stigma of women's football and things like that, but like any men's team, you can only beat what's in front of you. You know, I mean, we watched them the first week, it was 1-0 at half time. We're going, this is quite tough. And then they turned six over in the second half. It was like, do you know what I mean? The second goal went in very quickly, and it was like, oh, well, this is going to be game over. And they just kept going. But they do, like, well, Ali and I have waxed lyrical about what Uzi does, how he does all the unselfish running.
Mm.
A lot of them do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them that have to do it, do it. The two in midfield that go, they do the unselfish running. The three up top are always trying to run in behind to create space. I mean, it's really is do the basics excellent.
Aye.
And then the individuals who can do what they do, and they all do it, can't, you know, they make a difference. It is very entertaining and very well. They're very well organised, but they're very well entertaining as well.
It's a good team. You can tell they're an organised team. And they play for each other. The one thing I'll also say is their decision making is spot on. Even if passes didn't quite reach their intended recipient, it's the right ball to play, things like that. Or they're diving in when they should, they're keeping their feet when they should, things like that. Just as you say, the basics. And it's honestly, it's been brilliant to watch. Brilliant to watch. And I really would encourage anybody to get down just to watch them. Even if you're happen to not be a citizen listening, please go and watch them. If you're in the area, they're really fantastic to watch. So from that, myself and Rooney also went to the under-20s game on Friday. It was a city bonanza for the weekend, and then so I didn't have to do any work really. And also because the speedway's not back until Friday, so I had a spare Friday. There we are. Just had to get that in again. I'll be going there on Friday. Playoff time, playoff under the lights. Brilliant. As my woolly hat, my tea cosy that the women's Twitter put up yesterday on Twitter. My monarch's tea cosy.
I was admiring that. I have to say that was.
I tell you what, it's a cracking woolly hat. It's got this kind of like, it feels like a sheepskin lining. It's no real sheep, obviously. It's got this kind of lining, right? And it just keeps everything nice and toasty. You don't even need to wear a jacket because it keeps so much heat. It's fantastic. Anyway, enough of that. As we all say, we went to the 20s, where I was also wearing my woolly hat because it was a bit cold. It's Ainslie Park at night time. I mean, come on, it's going to be cold. So we went to the 20s. We didn't even know Alan Smith was going to be playing until he rocked up on the pitch. I was like, that looks like Smithy. So I took a wee picture. I think he sort of posed, but it was also kind of like, he's also kind of like, what are you doing taking a picture of me? Kind of look. He played well. I thought some of the other young boys looking. Obviously, the team's changed around completely for the last time we saw them. They looked pretty good, actually. Got a late win against Cumbernauld Colts, who had been undefeated up until that time, I think.
Yeah.
It was a rocket of a winner, it must be said. Oh, again,
it was a cracker. Right.
Oh, yeah, it was a cracker. I mean, if it wasn't for the net, it was in the Morrison's car park. It was one of those ones. Yeah. I again thoroughly enjoyed it. The 20s, regardless of the turnover, the team still play a pretty good brand of football.
Yeah, very much again, though. Another 4-3-3. You know, two white guys, one in the middle. A pivot. I had the great pleasure of standing next to Ross McNamara, ex-player, ex-assistant manager.
Ex-club captain.
Ex-club captain, ex-goalie, probably done it all.
He was a better goalie, he was a centre-half. No, I'm only joking, Ross. I'm only joking.
We know he listens now, so that's fine. and he was talking through how, like, you know, his son was, had been on the bench and stuff because he hadn't been well and whatever, but, you know, there was a lot of 16-year-old laddies and the young guy, oh God, he played the middle of the park, was it number 22?
Aye.
Yeah, you know, he was only 16-year-old as well, but he looked very good. You know, got wired in, good in the ball. You could just tell that, you know, there was another... The boy that come up front, I think they had talked about it, the boy that scored the winner, I think Ross was saying that he had been played centre-half for a couple of weeks in that as well. And he right-hand side of the box, he turned in and he rips one. I mean, the top bag on the left-hand side, and we're like, whoa, geez, oh, that's come out of nowhere. Smithy had these good 45 minutes. You know, the guys were saying that it's probably helped them have like a focal point. And like all the young guys up front, they had two good wingers that were good. Got some interesting stories for us, which won't necessarily make the cut about certain people cheating on cheating on quizzes and stuff like that and whatever. And you know, but and talking about some of Gary's tactics and being at a certain game and being there for 6 minutes and going, I've seen enough, that's how we'll beat them. So that'll stay for another day, which was fantastic. But I thought they played very, very, very well. Very well. And they were, as much as they were, you could tell they were top of the league, but typical, I'm going to say a wee bit like Sunday with the women, a typical West Coast team. They had a few dirty bastards in their team, eh? Just liked a wee niggle and left the boot in and we're just that wee bit late, you know, at times where you were like, you know, they were like borderline playing it. And that's maybe where, I remember saying to King Beattie a few years ago about the difference between Edinburgh football and Glasgow football. And Glasgow's maybe a wee bit more like, we're expected to win. It's all about winning. This is what's, and, you know, they maybe go push the boundary just that wee bit now and again, because there was a few tasty tackles at times, eh? But, you know, they played very well. The young team done exceptionally because we were like, oh, it's 2-1, how long to go? And you're like, it's near enough finish. We're like, oh, come on, this is great. So, aye, very good. A couple of really good wingers, a couple of good throwbacks. Yeah, the throwbacks weren't exactly expansive at times, but, you know, they were solid. It was like, the right back was like, I know that I'm not going to go and overlap the winger. He says, but the boy who's playing against me isn't going to get past me, which never happened, which is good. You know what I mean? You knew what you were getting out of the guy, which was good, so. Very entertaining, but as you say, very different from.
We also had a comical interlude with the local.
The local Pilton massive
chucking stones in that in the pitch. Referee having to postpone the game for a wee bit. Must be said, they're obviously brave boys because some of the Cumbernauld boys that came through were looking pretty handy. Eventually they ran away after they got like a mini chase, which was quite funny. The game was suspended for about 20 minutes. We're all standing there, what's going on? And they're all giving it the big end on top of this garage. Oh, it was comedy. It was really funny.
I'm allowed to say it, but you know, we're talking to Ross and our ex-player that we used to sponsor, Sir Joe Mabu, talking about you know, when the Strollers had played Spartans and Joe being the true citizen that he is, was just getting dogs abuse to everything that was in a Spartan stop, regardless of where, and I was like, oh, and the canteen staff, he was like, probably as well. So, which was good to hear. And then the biggest cheer of the night was when Bob found out that Stirling Uni had scored against them on the other pitch. So that was obviously a loud cheer as well.
What can I say? A double whammy for me. My uni win, and it gets it right up the Spartans. Absolutely magnificent. What a game. They won 3-0, by the way, if anybody wants to have a look. Before we go, our under-20s coach, Callum Duffy's left. I believe onto slightly bigger and better things. So we'd like to thank him for the last few years. that team that he managed to have about 2 or 3 years ago with Sam Newman and Andy Muir and all these guys was an absolute joy to watch. They were so far ahead of everybody else in that league. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Like, they just managed to get this group of guys together who were head and shoulders above everybody at that level. They were ridiculously good. Obviously, COVID kind of hit, which meant they couldn't really get to celebrate winning the league, which would have done something called the Conference Champions playoff against each other or some nonsense. They would have excused that. There was no doubt about it. The only thing that would have undone them would be overconfidence, I think. But, I mean, they used to rattling goals for fun. They used to just pass and passing, just constant. You know what I mean? It was ridiculous. Again, you can only beat what's put in front of you. And obviously the gap between what's now the Lowland League Development League, used to be essentially East of Scotland 20s, the gap between there and League 2 is quite big. But Sam Newman showed you can come in and I thought played pretty well last year. But disappointed still he left. A couple of others that left as well. Maybe should have got a chance. But, yep, thanks to Callum for the last few years. And we hope he does well. So, on to Mr. Monk's Moans. What have we got this week?
Actually, you mentioned one of the protagonists' names earlier, actually. Ron, we've actually given some...
Ron the Con!
Ruby and Ron.
We've given one American a lot of praise on this podcast. Some other ones we're going to get a bit of a... something not quite praise. Obviously, there's another working group, another whatever it is, party put together to look at the best interests of Scottish football. And as with any kind of working group who's going to look into something, they already know what the answers are. They just need to find a way to justify what the answers are. Rooney, you may recognise that from our world of work. Any project, any test and learn, they already know what they want the answer to be. It's just, how do we justify this answer?
How do we
Well, possibly, aye. And well, at least one of the things that they clearly want to do is what gets my vote, which is get alcohol back at grounds. I think that's very clear that that's going to be something they'll be looking at. You know, that's, they can keep it away from the two Glasgow teams if they want. That's fine by me. But everyone else can have a pint, happy enough with that. And we've talked about that kind of thing, about the match day experience and all that. I think that's a big, you know, that's something we all want to see improve, not just for us, but across all the clubs, all the levels. If you can get fans to rather than spend the day at the pub before the game, if you can spend more time at the ground and things, if it's a good experience for them, that'll work really well. So that's fine. But for some reason, every time it comes up every now and again, when people are looking into Scottish football, they have this idea that, and it was your man Ron Gordon was in the Athletic with an interview about it, just kind of a throwaway line about basically cutting the number of teams in half, you know, seems to be the, and that seems to be, I honestly, for the life of me, do not understand what they think that would achieve. I genuinely do not get it. He's talking about fucking trickle down economics like he's Ronald Reagan or something like this. Absolute drivel. If there's any example of any industry in the world where trickle down economics does not work, Scottish football, when you look at the two teams.
It's football in general.
Let's just go into
the political and social chat. Trickle-down economics is a fucking farce. It doesn't work. It's never worked. All it does is for rich people to keep their money so they didn't have to give it to anybody below. Yeah. And all you're seeing now is Ron Gordon, a rich man who's come in, decided to take over Hibs, and decided to go, I want my money for myself, fuck the rest of yous, and decided that's it. Trickle-down economics doesn't work. We know how much the prize money is when you go beyond roughly the top six in Scotland. If you ever listen to The Price of Football with Kieran Maguire and Kevin Day, he says part of the reason that the championship teams in Scotland didn't knock their pan in to go up is because there's absolutely no difference in prize money compared to the Premier League and Champions League and Championship in England. He says you're not knocking your pan in an arms race, and that's why Scottish teams are generally run pretty well on the whole, he says. So, aye, this trickle-down economics, you just go and beat it, man. It's nonsense. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, but and it's basically that, because it's just these, as if that's going to make it, like, so, like, if Edinburgh City are cut from the league structure and play somewhere else, well, I'll still go and watch Edinburgh City. Like, I'm not going to then go and watch, I'm not going to go and get a season ticket. Like, I can see East Road from my kitchen window. I'm not going to get a season ticket there. I'm not going to get a season ticket at Tynecastle. I'll just keep. So I don't think anybody, any Scottish football fan in the lower leagues, however they've come to their club, however long they've been at their club, I don't think that they're just going to go. It's not America. You don't just pick teams up and put them into different places and fan bases aren't transient like they are in North American sports. But it just seems to be that we all know what will come back on this from this report. I think it's Deloitte that I've got the mandate for it. But I do not understand what cutting the number of teams in half would possibly do for the benefit of Scottish football. I genuinely do not. There are so many other things that can be done for the benefit of Scottish football. I should say it's not just Rob Gordon, it's not just Americans, it's not just the green side of this city, because I don't know what her role is at Harps anymore, but we've had people of a maroon persuasion say a very similar thing in the not too distant past. I think it's a similar vein to the Colts thing. Everyone knows what I think about that. I think it's just a lazy thing that people say as if they're trying to put some grand proposal, and there is absolutely nothing behind it. There's no research done. There's no data. There's nothing at all. It's just to give themselves a couple more quid, I think. And even then, I don't know how they would. What would you do? Just cut the prize money from the bottom 20 teams in Scotland? How much is that going to add up to?
It's a 30 quid each or something.
Really,
you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. Really, really not a lot. So, particularly that interview in The Athletic, particularly Graham Laguerre a couple of weeks ago. So, there's some research about
Peruvian Ron, or Ron the Corn, as we want to call him. You know, I know Bud said it when she first took over at Hearts.
He said that a few months ago as well.
Yeah, so, and obviously, these two are successful business people in their different worlds, not in the football world, but cutting the teams will not solve the problem. The problem is the ugly sisters get what they want, and they always have for too long. The benefit for Scottish football would be for everybody else in the league to go, we're going to vote these out and we're going to break away. But the SPFL 10 or whatever 10 it was a few years ago when Pie Man Robinson tried to do it, they shat it. They should have done it, because then they would have, like we discussed before, we would have had pay-per-view and we would have had, you know, streaming services like we do now and all that sort of stuff. The best thing that would happen with Scottish football is everybody goes, we're sick of the shite, we're sick of how we're treated by every other team. You two can piss off. And that's it. And cut them out. Let them play each other every week. They'll be happy. Do you know what I mean? And they can do what they want. And then let the other teams just play and make sure the money filtered down accordingly.
What I will say to that, though, is, and you mentioned, Ali, it's like a lazy kind of thing. I just think it's a sign of disrespect. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just like those that run teams. A lot of the fans are like that as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like there was a Hibs and Hearts fans have done this, but maybe been advertising Friday nights. Right, the cost is too much. We know that. But then going around saying, I'm not going for that because they're a pub team and all this kind of stuff. Why would I go and watch that shite? Well, why don't you just go and have a find out? You know what I mean? It's just it's a disrespectful attitude. And I wrote that when I wrote the article on Pure Football a while back about the who cares with it when we got suspended and nobody else did because of COVID. I say it's just an utter disrespect for those at the higher echelons of the game, right? And that includes the majority of the Premier League. Oh, sorry, Premiership. They've changed their name again. The majority of the Premiership and a lot of the fans. And you don't need it. And it's not just on social media or internet forums and that. You can go and speak to some of these guys in the street and they'll give you exactly the same answer. You know what I mean? Like, you see folk that maybe say, oh, I'll maybe pop down to go and see City, or I'll maybe pop and see Civil Service or something at the weekend just for something today. What do you want to go and watch that for? That's rubbish, man. Have you ever been? No, but Ken, it's rubbish. Why would you Ken then? You know, it's just an absolute disrespect to what these clubs are, the history of a lot of these clubs, and what a lot of these clubs do for the community. And everybody's like, oh, what do they do for the community? Well, what does it matter? Just because they're not advertising it doesn't mean you say they're not bringing something to the community. You know what I mean? I know I've said it before, Stenhouse Muir are pretty good for advertising what they do, right? Mm. They're a proper-hearted community club. You know, they go out, they help people, like during lockdown, they're helping people get medicines and food and all that type of thing. And they advertise it, and that's great. But not every club, that's not every club's MO. They don't just want to say, oh, by the way, we're doing this. I mean, there was a thing that like we did during lockdown that we never even knew about until it came out in the SPFL Trust's kind of brochure thing about what community clubs were doing. But that's fine. I don't mind that. But I know that the club are doing something. You don't have to shout it for the rooftops. And I think a lot of these clubs higher up tend to forget that. It's not just to do with like the football on display or anything like that. It's to do what they bring to the area that they're in. And they have done for a long time. You know, even like it doesn't make a difference what size of crowd you get or anything like that. It could be one man a dug, it doesn't matter. It's what everything else happens. Because it's not just, you know, it's for a lot of these guys, it's like telling somebody for Cowdenbeath, like a Cowdenbeath fan who's been going for 75 years, oh, by the way, you're not worth anything because you just support Cowdenbeath. What kind of attitude is that to take? It absolutely pisses me off no end when I hear various calls like Ron Gordon or Ann Budge or whoever it may be, giving it, oh, well, you should just accept it. Can we pat us on the head and go, oh, well done, guys, well done. Piss off. I don't want your gratitude like that. Know what I mean? Just show some respect. It's absolutely pathetic. Anyway.
Yeah. I've just pulled that article up from a very quick quote from Ron Gordon. My sense is that somewhere in the middle of that, maybe 24 or something like that, you could still keep the pyramid going. Focus would be on the full-time professional clubs that can really grow the game. Because ultimately, what happens at the top trickles down to the smaller clubs, so you can still keep all the payments and residuals flowing down. That means absolutely nothing. Total guesswork. And you say total disrespect. He's talking about that's Ron Gordon from his interview in The Athletic. I think it was on the podcast. Those are words that have just spilled out of his mouth there with absolutely no idea. I mean, what does that mean? Focus on growing the product. And they're like, what is he even talking? These are just buzzwords. And actually, your point about disrespect is good, Paul, because that's about just writing off Edinburgh City and Annan and Cowdenbeath and Stenhousemuir and Stirling Albion and whoever else. Like, for...
He's contradicting these numbers. Because if he suggests 24 full-time teams and then everything else will still trickle down and will grow the game, it won't make a difference. You won't grow the game because you'll still have the same amount of teams. So folk will still go and watch Edinburgh City. Folk will still go and watch
Cowdenbeath.
It won't make a difference. If he's meaning that, what he should be saying is he's going to the SFA to say you should be cutting licences. If you want this stuff, I don't agree with it, but if they're saying they want less teams, but there's more and more teams every year getting licences to go in the SFA. Do you know what I mean?
What does he want less teams for? He's not said anything there. He's just said focus on the full-time teams that can... What do you mean focus? Yeah. Who focus? Who's focusing on it? Like, what do you mean?
Do you know what his point is?
That's an American thinking, this is what American soccer's like. Let's do the same.
Some arguments with the Super League and all that as well. Do you know what makes his point even sillier? Is the fact that there's three full-time teams in League One and one of the best teams in Scotland is a part-time team who are currently third in the Championship and are broke. Right? And it's a club that a lot of players want to play for because of Dick Campbell and because they're both run pretty well and it's a good place to go and play football. So his point falls down there already. You know what I mean? What's he going to say if I both get promoted this year?
I know.
What's going to happen? You know what I mean? It's an absolute nonsense. It's a nonsense point to make.
It's a good point because I think one of the things in this review and all this kind of stuff, and it's the Aberdeen chairman's involved and various other people are as well, is about celebrating the kind of uniqueness of Scottish football. And I think that's a really good idea. And I think you can make much more of it and things like that. And if you're looking for a bit of uniqueness, there's probably not a better story over the last maybe 4 or 5 years than Arbroath. To be honest with you, and there's not really another league that's going to be able to replicate that. To have a team as small as Arbroath is to be doing as well, that the character like Dick Campbell, team that regularly gets pumped by Edinburgh City as well, so we might get a bit of.
I've never seen them lose to Arbroath.
So ridiculous, Angus. So, like, for some of that, that's one of the best stories in football is Arbroath. And that's something that can only happen because of the way Scottish football. Because of the way Scottish football has been dragged through, with probably Dick Campbell's force of personality, you know, things like that. And then the fact that somebody like that can drag a team from being in the same league as us right up to, I think they drew 0-0 with Kilmarnock on Friday night there, you know, that's amazing. And it's a hell of a lot better story than,
yeah.
I don't know. I still don't, like Hearts getting a few more on their gate because. I don't know. Actually, I still don't even know. I still don't know what he's talking about. So that's my fucking
I think as well.
But if we get Fines back in the ground, so.
But I won't believe. I won't just say, "Oh, it's because he's a body foreigner." But him coming in from America and doing X, football in the United Kingdom is religion and culture, and your wee town having a team and being proud of it and all this. If he comes to a country where they have big teams in one state and that's who they follow, they don't have a big city like ours where we have three teams in the league, you know, and umpteen teams in the lower divisions after that. Doesn't he come for a place like that? He's not got a clue what he's talking about. He's not got a clue what... Granted, we should be promoting it more, because we should, and it shouldn't just be promoted on the Ugly Sisters and the religious rivalry. You know, that shouldn't be promoted on that. It should be promoted on more. You know, fair play to BBC Scotland for still picking up championship games. You know, like, they've done the Challenge Cup, or when we were in the Iron Brew Cup and all that sort of stuff. Do all that sort of stuff. You do it. I know England's a bigger country, but they do it in England. They promote every league in England. Do you know what I mean? BT have got them in the fifth tier on Saturday afternoons, and there's Championship, there's League Two, there's League One, there's everything on. And what do we get? We get top tier when the demographic, you know, there's more teams out of the top tier than fans that want to watch it. So,
aye. I think that's when you talk about like him coming in. It was something that the Glazers touched upon when the Super League went to pot, as a kind of one of they should have known. I think they probably did, but they weren't quite sure that like the backlash it was going to have, and they were like, "Look, hands up, we just got that wrong. It's just about our culture difference." And I think that's essentially what it might be. But that doesn't account for Anne Budge saying it either. I mean, she should know better.
She said that at the start. She said that.
You know what I mean? She should know better, right? And it's not just, I mean, like the guy for Rangers, I think, has made comments about it as well. I mean, they should know better than to just, as I said, they're just outright disrespect, and it pisses me off constantly. Anyway, right, you want a Rooney's rant, or is that enough?
No, I think my only rant would be about the boy Patrick Clamal coming out of the press the other day. He used to play for Celtic, having a fucking pop and telling me the MLS, there you go, run the con, stick that in your pipe, tell me the MLS is a better league than the SPFL. Look, you didn't fucking cut it. You couldn't have a barn door in Scotland, and just because you started to score goals in the American Holiday League, you know, you think it's a better quality league. Like that fanny Joey Barton when he come up to Scottish football to tell me he was going to be the best player in fucking Scotland.
Hold on. All we need to say is two words. Shane Duffy.
Shane Duffy, came exactly.
Came up here, he looked like an absolute duffer. Like, he looked like he was an absolute huddy. And he's went back down to Brighton, and apparently he's been absolutely magnificent.
He's in my fantasy Premier League team.
And then you got another one. Timo Pukki. Couldn't have had a barn door in Scotland, right, for the whole Man Nanku score in Scotland brigade. But right? And he goes down to Norwich, and he scores goals for fun.
My problem's not with these guys. My problem isn't with Shane Duffy, because he didn't slate Scottish football. Timo Pukki didn't come out and slate Scottish football. Joey Barton sat on the radio and told everybody he was coming up here to be the best player in Scottish football and left after 6 months because Ali Crawford's nutmegged him in his first game. And went, "You later, son, you're obviously not that good." All right, this boy Clamal couldn't hit a barn door in Scotland, and now he's pissed off to play in the American Holiday League and thinks he's a world beater. Sorry, son, you weren't that good. Shut up. If you were that good, you would have rattled goals in. Guys who cut it in our league go on to bigger and better things. Virgil van Dijk is a prime example because he's playing the night in the Champions League. Says it all. Kasper Schmeichel, Tim Krul, all these guys that have come up here on loan, you know, not always in the Premier League, some in the Championship, have went on to bigger and better things.
Who was it? Was it not somebody played for, like, on loan at Brechin or something like that? Was it Jay Rodriguez?
Was it?
Played on loan at, like, Brechin or Forfar or something like that.
There you go. James Maddison.
James Maddison went to Aberdeen. Aye.
Enough guys who are good enough that didn't come up here and disrespect it. All these huddies that come up here and disrespect it and then go down south or go somewhere else and look world beaters. Piss off.
Stirling Albion is where Jay Rodriguez went.
There you go.
There you go.
Fantastic. That is what you want to see.
You know, so it's no, I think it just comes back to the whole disrespect thing, and it just, it continually happens. I get sick of it. We'll probably could be moaning about it every week, to be honest. Yeah. I think part of our problem is, you know how you say celebrate the uniqueness of Scottish football? Is that part of that, it's like, there's a bit of self-deprecating, it's actually quite pish. But then as soon as somebody points it out, we all get really defensive about it.
Well,
but there is some of it where it's just blatant, like, these boys are haddies. You know what I mean? It's a Farmers League or whatever else they want to call it. Like, just even, but even then you get, like, teams in the Premier, in the Premiership, they play outside the Premiership, that becomes like the Seaside League. You know, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? Just, you should all try and do things better for Scottish football than it is. And there we go. That's probably that. Have I got a Bobby's bonus? No, probably not really. Not really. I think I've covered that. I've had enough of I've had enough of nonsense like that in The Athletic and all that kind of garbage. I don't know how many reviews they need to have. Right? Just ask the fan. Like, the fans keep telling them what they want and they never listen to them.
No.
You know, that's the problem. They never listen to fans. What do fans want? They want to have at least a trial of alcohol back in stadia, right? England, it looks like, are going to be moving away for their one, but where you can take pints back to your seats, right? Because they have that nonsense rule where it can't face the pitch.
Aye.
I mean, you can literally stand at a court like at an opening, but as long as you have pints away from the pitch, you can turn around and look and watch a game.
You can't look at the pitch where you have a pint in your hand.
You know what I mean? So they're going to trial that kind of thing. You're still well behind. You know what I mean? I don't think... what I'll do is I'll stop folk going out to a pub getting absolutely blazing before a game because it gets to half two and they'll start like nicking drinks as quick as they can. No naming anybody today with a supporters club, Stevie Ramage. But, you know what I mean? You get to half past two, you start nicking drinks down and then they're coming out. And because of that, because you're drunk it so quick, the fresh air hits you, wallop. That's why folk get absolutely steaming. Where if you can go to the game... If you go to a stadium, right, go to your home club, have a couple of pints in there, you don't have to rush because you're there anyway. You know, and that's part of the problem. And they've no judged that fact yet. You know what I mean? They've no worked that out. That this is the problem with why people turn up drunk. Right? Obviously, some people just kind of take it as well, but that's by the by. But the majority are pretty decent. I was going to say law-abiding citizens, but you know what I mean. But you know what I mean. They didn't go out and make an absolute show of themselves.
The facilities are like, you know, it's like, put my heart's hat on. When Hearts never used to sell the hospitality or that, you know, that they only sold half of it, then we'd open the other half up for a seated bar for the fans. It maybe cost you £4 or £5 and you get a pie and a drink where, you know what I mean? You weren't losing any money on you getting your ticket, but they would invite you, would get in for a pint and that would be in the ground. Do you know what I mean? The facilities,
you're getting the club money that way as well.
Exactly, but the facilities are not there for clubs to go, which is rubbish. I know there's a bar at Tynecastle now, but you know the facilities are not there for the like just lounges for you to walk up and have a drink.
Aye.
You know, it's just...
I don't want to go down the whole football rugby route, right? But they can go in and take pints to their seats. Like, I could go... there's an example. Bring Speedway up again. I can go to the Speedway. I can go in to the bar. It comes out in a plastic glass... or a plastic cup, as I should say,
yeah.
Right? I can take it, I can stand and watch it, no problem. When I used to go to the ice hockey, I could do exactly the same apart from Edinburgh because their bylaws were different. Brayhead, Dundee and Kirkcaldy, right? Go there, get a pint, take it to your seat, right? When the Athletics used to be on at Meadowbank years ago, you could take a pint, well, before I was able to drink, but you could take a pint, watch it at your seat. Football's the only sport that you're not allowed to do it. And it's not because everybody's, oh, I'll be loads of trouble. I'll tell you now, I've said this before, the amount of antisocial behaviour when my mum was at Roseburn from rugby fans or when I was walking to like ice hockey games at Murrayfield, the amount of antisocial behaviour and disgusting behaviour you could see for rugby fans was through the roof. But we just passed off as just hijinks guys, eh? Whereas that was a football fan, they just got arrested. You know, I can go sociologically and all that kind of stuff. I've said this before on the podcast I did with Ash. It's a class thing as well. You know, what are we... All football fans must be working class because it's a working class game. Everybody who goes to rugby must be middle class or upper class. Well, that's bullshit. You know, there's plenty of people who go to football games who are of a higher class than working class. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make a difference. Everybody just gets lumped in the same.
Stop looking at me and Ali like that. We know where we come from. Come on.
I was going to say, just
I can't see much.
Just in case that slipped by anyone, that was just about Bob saying something nice about Kirkcaldy there.
Not quite, just about saying something. On that note, folks,
I'm not a massive fan of Tennent's, but the Kirkcaldy Ice Rink used to serve some of the best pints of Tennent's I've ever tasted, right? Consistently good, right? The service was good in the ice rink as well. The rest of it was nice and nice. The fans are horrible, right? But that's by the by. Everybody knows that. It's an absolute cope. But that's okay. That's okay. But the pints were nice. Nothing wrong with that.
Look, I'm just going to throw a positive in here just to stick it up any Real Madrid fans that are probably listening. They are playing Sheriff. Are they like... Does anybody know where they're from?
I think they're in... They're somewhere in kind of Eastern Central Europe, and I'm pretty sure it's in one of these disputed territories, isn't it?
I think they're Moldovan. I think is.
Aye, but I think are they not in the disputed part of?
There might be something. Yeah, there's. I'm sure they're a Moldovan. They're a Moldovan team. I am unsure on the geopolitics of their precise location.
All right. Okay. A Moldovan football team. Anyway,
aye, they're in Transnistria. That's what it is. They're in the disputed part. Yeah, I knew that. Didn't they just make up?
No. Good to see you've actually done something with your 25 years at uni. just to stick it up, they've just scored an absolute raker against Real Madrid.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
You want to head into stoppage time? Absolutely beautiful. Lovely. Got to love them getting beat.
Lovely. Anyway, anything else you'd like to add, gentlemen?
Hopefully the women win tomorrow, and then we win on Friday night, and the Spartans get hammered on Saturday.
And the women's team also playing on Sunday at Livingston. £2 entry at Almondvale. I'm assuming Jab won't go because it's Almondvale. But if you can get along, so I think that's going to be probably the biggest game of the season. So women's team are at Bonnyrigg tomorrow. Obviously, Bonnyrigg's easier to get to than Broxbourne, so if you can go, if you manage to get this podcast out in time. If not, apologies, but there's plenty of tweets anyway, you should be paying attention.
Ali's going to add a little book recommendation for anyone. It's called Underground, Overground, The Fault Lines of Football Clubs. It's predominantly about AFC Wimbledon and MK Dons and the fallout of that, but there is actually a little bit on Med, just when you mentioned it there, about Meadowbank Thistle and about Livingston and the impact from there. So I know the author, a guy called Andy Thomas. I know him a little bit, so I'll just I'll give him a shout and let him know a bit. But it's an interesting point. I did wonder whether he would bring up the Meadowbank Livingston thing, and he does. But it's really worth reading, actually. I think it was part of his, it initially started as like his anthropology dissertation type thing, but he expanded it out into, I think, really, really interesting. Andy's a fantastic writer. So Underground, Overground, The Fault Lines of Football Clubs, it's called. I can see there it's got a 5-star rating on Goodreads, and at least one of those was from, or 4.5 stars, at least one of the 5-star one was from me. But yeah, worth a little look if that's your kind of thing. Really interesting things I didn't know about Wimbledon, about AFC Wimbledon, about MK Dons. And actually, I think are probably relevant to a lot of clubs in our part of the world, and touching on things that we've touched on this podcast about identity, about community, about what makes a football club, all these types of things. So if you're in the mood for a bit of a football read, I would recommend have a little look at that.
Aye, I'll just be happy to finally read a book again for pleasure, because I've not managed to do it in about 5 years. I've been too busy reading journal articles and textbooks, and that the last thing I want to do at the end of the day is pick up a book when I was actually quite a voracious reader. So maybe a few months off before I settle on what will happen next. Read a few books, that'll be entertaining. Anyway, that enough? Rooney, Arden? No? Good. No. Right. A bit of housekeeping. If you want to join the supporters club as ever, DM us on Twitter at Club Citizens, or email us clubcitizens@yahoo.com. The main purpose of that is generally priority for away buses. Thanks to Ash Wilson for organising the Stranraer bus. We heard it was a great success. I'm sure the lads appreciated it. And you could see his celebration of running probably the whole length of the pitch after Uzi stuck in that winner. So yeah, it gives you, it'll hopefully give you priority for buses. We're trying to arrange more buses. Away travel, as you can imagine, at the minute is a bit tough. Not everybody wants to go away. Bus companies can be a bit difficult to deal with as well. So thanks to Ash for organising that. He'll be the man, hopefully, organising future buses as well. His book is also still going, Good Citizen, Bad Citizen, on Amazon, Google Play, and other bookstores. You don't need a Kindle to read it, which is handy. Is there any other housekeeping? Oh, we need to do a picture for Alec for the programme. Right, cheers, boys. That covers that. Yes, thank you also to Alec. He does listen, we know that. Thanks for giving us a wee bit in the programme. It's much appreciated. Thank you to everybody who's listened. We know some of the players do. We know the board does. We have, it would appear, listeners in faraway places, including Japan, which have popped up last week. So thank you, whoever you are. Thank you, everybody who does listen. If there's anything you want us to bring up or talk about, DM us or tweet us or email us or whatever. See us at a game. Maybe no me until the Speedway season's finished. Had to get that in again. So apart from that, I think that's probably done. I can get back to finishing my dissertation and get handed in tomorrow. So, thank you very much, Mr. Rooney.
Thanks. Stay safe, folks. Enjoy your football.
Thank you, Mr. McGreef.
Right, stay safe is a good message. Let's go with that.
And thank you from me, the Right Rev. Goodbye.